Sometimes when I'm preparing a message, I think, well, this message will speak to those people, but I'm not sure to speak to these people that are gathered together. Well, today I've found a message that speaks to everyone. Today I'm glad that none of us took the day off, because it is a day in which these words speak to everyone. I'm going to be talking about paradoxes for Easter people. Now, what a paradox does is to take two seemingly contradictory truths and say you have to live both of them together if you're going to have real truth. Real faith isn't one or the other. Real faith, living in a paradox, is both together. And I have more than a hunch that everybody here has mastered perhaps one of the paradoxes better than the other. I came across all of this in a great classic Christian spiritual book by a Quaker by the name of Thomas R. Kelly. His book is called A Testament of Devotion, and it is as a powerful statement on Christian faith, prayer, and action that I've ever seen. And in it, Thomas Kelly wrote, "Ponder this paradox of religious experience. Nothing matters, everything matters." Most of us are living our lives more to one half of that truth than the other. We dance around one pole most of the time, occasionally pausing to bow toward the other pole. Which half does your life this morning lean toward? The nothing matters or the everything matters half? If you are pretty much leaning on the half that says nothing matters, you probably have some peace of mind. You sleep pretty well at night. You're not in a panic much of the time. You're not too anxious. On the other hand, some of us have gravitated to the side of things that says everything matters. If you lean more to this side of your life, it is full of purpose and mission. You care a great deal. Indeed, you care about your family, about your world, about your hard worker. You're a doer of the word. Now, got yourself one or the other now? A little closer to one of those poles than the other? Maybe some of you think, oh my goodness, good heavens, I've got both at once. I'm too comfortable and too anxious. I'm an apathetic overachiever. I'm a cynic with a Messiah complex. I've given up on the world, but I'm still carrying the whole thing on my shoulders. Some of us really do get it wrong both ways. Today, I want to tell you that it really is possible to get it right both ways. The Apostle Paul did. Oh, he fouled up like the rest of us on some days, and you can read him and see him, and his natural temperament was bent on the side of being too anxious, too self-important, and too zealous in everything matters. Why, before he met Christ, he gladly threw stones at Christians. And even after the love of Christ had found him, he had days of feeling that self-important anger. But the change accomplished in him by Christ was a real change. And part of that change was Paul coming to have both more passion and more peace. more feistiness, and more freedom, more care, and less care. You've heard both discoveries today from the reading of the scripture from the Apostle Paul to his Philippian friends. Listen again to his mission, to his passion. This one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press toward the goal, to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then just a few lines later, listen to his peace and his freedom. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will stand sentinel watch over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace and passion, great care, no worries. Nothing matters, everything matters. It reminds me of something Fred Craddock once said. Fred Craddock was a preacher. He also taught preachers. He said, like a lot of preachers, especially when they were young, he as a young man was too serious, too full of self-important intensity, especially about his preaching. But an old man gave him some advice that made a difference. The old man said, "Fred, before you leave the house every morning, stop at the door and make this prayer. Lord, use everything I will say and do. Bless it all. Amen." And then as you go outside and put on your hat, say to yourself, "Here goes nothing." These are the days of Eastertide. We'll be wrapping up the season of Easter next Sunday. These are the days when more deliberately than usual, the Church of Jesus Christ is asking the questions and asking you the question, what does it actually mean in how we think, how we live, and how we choose that Christ is risen from the dead with power to live among us? And here it is in part. If Christ is risen, we have reason to be the most passionate, most diligent, most hardworking, most urgent people on earth. We know something that rules all apathy, sloth, cynicism, out of order. We know that when the world has done its ungodliest, shabbiest, worst, God does the world one better. God has overcome it all. We know that now a living Christ moves in every circumstance, no matter how bleak. He works in every difficulty. He beckons from every opportunity. He looks at us in the face. He calls us everywhere to join him in the work, in the world, in the prayer, in the praise, in the effort, in the courage, in the passion, in the witness of giving everything we've got and all that we are for the glory of God and the healing of the world. Christ lives and calls us to be people of everything matters and nothing matters. It makes us like runners whose whole attention is focused, whose every nerve and muscle is trained on the goal. Joining with Christ is a great work that is God's sure work upon the world. And the Easter gospel also makes us, it wants to make us, the most unflappable, most non-anxious, the calmest and freest people on the earth. For if Christ is risen, and the power even of death is blasted, then the main thing has already been settled. The end has been written already. God's people will never be abandoned. And no matter how many setbacks we see, the kingdom of this world is becoming the kingdom of our Lord, of Jesus Christ. The music has already begun. And one day, we will be part of singing its conclusion. Alleluia. Alleluia. The kingdoms are becoming the kingdoms of Christ. So our hearts and our minds are at peace. Nothing matters so much that we need to be anxious about anything. Now, what kind of freedom would that give you if you really believed it? It would give us the freedom both to work hard and to rest well. Both to get up close to our world's concerns and deal with them, and to have some distance from those concerns where we are actually at peace. It's the freedom to grieve what the powers of evil are doing down here as we hurl our lives against them. And also the freedom to laugh, to take our shoes off and to eat ice cream on some days, and to bounce children on our knees because we know whose world this is. What you learn in Christ is to do with all your heart what you can do. And you better do it. And to let the rest go. And you'd better do it. What you learn in Christ is that famous prayer that says, it is serenity to accept what you can't change, and have the courage to change all that you can, and to have the wisdom to know the difference. We learn in Christ that where any door closes, that we can both grieve it and leave it, knowing that the grace of God transforms every exit into a new entrance. Every exit, even death, becomes an entrance into life. That's our Easter gospel. That's why we have an Easter courage. That's why we have an Easter peace. 4.5 centuries ago, Ignatius of Loyola experienced a divine calling to reform the Catholic Church from within. He formed the Society of Jesus, also known as the Jesuits. Toward the end of his days, his whole life's work became threatened. It appeared that the Pope at that time was going to dissolve his order, to otherwise act against it. And someone asked Ignatius, "What in the world would you do if the fruits of all his life's energy and labor were now destroyed?" And he replied, "I would pray for 15 minutes and then I would never think of it again." I don't know how to call you to that non-anxious courage, to that dual gift of great passion, joined hands with great peace. I know it doesn't help very much to be told this don't worry, be happy stuff. It never works too well. We don't need advice. What we need is a person. The more we draw and keep ourselves near to the risen Christ, the more we walk with him and work with him and wait for him, the more nothing matters. And the more everything matters. If you have a need this day to get your courage back, to act on what you know, if you need the gift today of healing peace for all that is too anxious in you, someone stands before your life in whose companionship is both courage and peace, the risen Christ. Years ago, Lech Walesa was visiting the United States. He did a television interview. He was asked about his life's work, and this man was full of courage. He had risked his life. He had gone to prison. He had faced persecution and probable death for freedom. The journalist was asking him all the usual questions about the reforms that were sweeping Eastern Europe and his convictions and his predictions. He was answering with great intelligence and passion about this inexorable force that was doing the reform. But it came to the last question of the interview. And the interview said, "You seem to be an optimistic man. But what keeps you awake at night what are you most afraid of?" Without hesitating, he said, "I'm afraid of God." And then with a hint of a smile, he added, "I sleep very well at night." Isn't that wonderful? Friends, the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Let that news teach you to tremble. Let it teach you to stand up and act where we ought to act. And let it give you some rest. With all your might, pressing toward the mark, do your part to honor and serve this Christ. And for his sake too, you be at peace. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, teach us how to care and how not to care. Deliver us, please, from all false concern. Deliver us into the one great concern that gives us both courage and freedom. Dissolve our lives into Christ and his great purpose. And so teach us to work. And so teach us to rest. And teach us to praise. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.